Welcome to Self-Created Podcast with Jurnell Simmons and Shanika Pishi, giving you resources and gems to create your best self. From books to recipes, local happenings, culture, and everything else in between. Helping you to learn or unlearn, because each and every one of us are creators.
Hey, how are you?
Well, thank you so much for doing this with me. So Grace and I are in Scarlene's Facebook group, and I had put out, you know, is anybody interested in talking about horror movies? And Grace said yes. Grace Schoeniger. I'm going to get that last name.
That was perfect, actually. Absolutely.
Yay. And so we've been messaging, you know, trying to meet up times. There's like a 3 hours difference. I was on the phone with my brother. He's in the California area too. We were on for almost 3 hours yesterday. I was like, Valentino, it's 12 o'clock. Good night. but you know, Scarlene's is our, like one of my favorite Facebook groups on there. I was in another horror movie group, and you know, there's just like different types of like horror movie fans, like the type that are like, yeah, tits and butt and ass and gore. And then like, well, I feel like in this movie, you know, the underlying, you know, foreshadow, blah, 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 blah. And I think the theme was this. And I'm just like, I want to see some tits, some gratuitous sex, and someone get killed, you know? Yeah. And so I was in another Facebook group, and it just got like very judgy. What were you going to say? Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, it's like, I just want to be scared. Like, give me a good scare. Give me a jump scare. Give me like a scenario I'm going to be thinking about afterwards. Like, just scare me.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I don't care about a storyline per se. Just kill people. so I love that about Scarlene's. We share opinions. It's, you know, respectful. I don't think anyone has gotten nasty on there. We, you know, yeah, it's great. One of my favorite groups. So tonight we're talking more horror movies. So before we get into what we'll be talking about, and we're going to talk about our top five horror movies, you know, kind of all time. And then we're going to talk about trends in horror movies, and the trend that we're going with is zombies. But before we do that, I like to ask, what got you into horror movies?
Oh gosh. Well, it's funny. Well, I'm probably going to reveal that I'm actually as old as dirt, but my very first horror movie experience was the original Halloween. And okay. I was a kid. So this tells you something about Gen X parenting, but basically we just got dropped off at the mall to go see Halloween. And I mean, we were like 12 at the time, like 11, 12 at the time. And parents used to just be able to drop you off at a movie and you could see whatever movie you chose to see. So it was Halloween, and that it was just so scary it just made a huge impression. And then that was kind of like the golden age of the slasher movies. So Friday the 13th came out, and Halloween 2, and like it kind of started like this mini golden age of horror movies. So it was a great time to get into it.
Yeah, what was it about that movie that just kind of got to you?
Well, I think it's just, you can see it happening. You know, it's dark. If you live at, if you're at all in any kind of suburb or in the country at all, like there's people going around, you don't know exactly who they are. You can't see them. And, you know, especially if you ever did any, you know, if you've ever done any babysitting, like you're in someone else's house, you don't know the noises. People knock at the door. You're not, you know, and it's just you in charge, especially I think, like as a teenager babysitting, that I think is the struck the nerve just as much, because it's I mean, what would you do if somebody crazy knocked at the door when you were babysitting and you're 12? you know
I agree. And you know, I was born 83, so I think I'm considered like the older side of millennials, but I'm the youngest, you know. I have older brother, older sister, and listen, by the time my parents had me, they're like, raise yourself. So, you know, my parents were the type of people. Yeah. They were the kind that are like, we're still going to have a life. You figure it out. So it was, you know, my brothers always loved movies. So he would go rent movies and, you know, that's how I'd watch them. We grew up military. So a lot of times we were places where there was like one channel. So we would record like a lot of movies and stuff that came on. And, you know, we just always loved horror movies. And my parents were the same way. When we lived in Fort Jackson, Missouri, you know, the movies would come like 3 months later, but it'd be a dollar. And, you know, here's $10. And the three of us get out of their hair for a while. And, you know, here I am at 8, 9 years old seeing Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because my brother's, my oldest brother is 15 years older. And then it was often like, you know, they made the mistake of letting the brothers go take you to go do things. And that's a terrible idea, by the way.
Brothers do not care. They do not care if they traumatize you.
Exactly. They're like, hey, we're fine with it. Why aren't you fine with it?
I know. But then we're like, yes, give us more. You know? Yeah, I'm sure our brothers would have a lot in common. Okay, so let's go into our top five movies, and I'm gonna have you start. And it doesn't have to be in particular order.
Well, I have to say, the number one is Halloween, like the original Halloween. Because I went back and I resaw it because I was thinking, oh, you know, because the first one made such a big impression on me. I thought, you know, I'm going to rewatch it. It'll probably seem silly. It'll probably seem ridiculous. And I have to say, in a way, it's scarier. Like, that is a scary movie. Like, it's really well done. They have just elements of it that are just, you know, I think kind of set the bar for a lot of other movies. And it's about Halloween. And it's got flashing. It's got babysitting. It's got, you know, left alone in the suburbs, which is a whole other theme. It's got jump scares, it's got suspense, it's everything you could want in a movie, it's there.
Right. I'm trying to change my camera because I realized that my light is like flashing, so I'm like giving you like an angel glow. I ain't no angel. Okay, what's your other one?
Okay, so I think number two is The Strangers, not the one from 2018 or 2017, whatever, the one from 2007. Like The Strangers, oh my God. I saw that movie in a movie theater in 2007 and I'm still afraid to look out my back door at night.
Yeah. Okay, so I know I want you to run down your top five, but I'm gonna interrupt because, like, Grace, we have the same.
Oh no!
So I'm like, okay, so maybe we just go back and forth, but Halloween and Michael Myers just in general freaks me out because Freddy got too comedic. Jason, I was like, well, shit, I'm black, I don't camp. this is when I was younger. I love camping now, but you know, I was like, I'm not going to a camp, and he seems to stay around camp, so I'm good. But Michael, he's in the neighborhood. And, you know, I just remember even I would watch that in the daytime, be terrified. And I'm like, is that a shadow going past, you know, the window? And I think just how I sometimes am just so oblivious to what's going on around me. You know what I mean? And that was the thing. A lot of times in those movies, he was literally just right there. Like, you know, like, for example, I can be talking to you and he's like, they're chilling. I wouldn't know because I'm not focused on that. You know, they're talking on the phone and his face is there. And then, yeah, I think it's just being so oblivious to what's right there in front of your face.
Then you think about it, it's like sending out your kids in costumes without people to go like knock on their doors, get invited to their houses, be given food by them. It's all things you would never ordinarily do if you think about it, which is I think why some people are a little unfortunately down on Halloween. But there is kind of some kind of inherent risk to it, which is I think part of what makes it so scary.
See, I guess that's another thing that I've experienced different was Halloween on base. You know, of course, they have like the strict times. And I do remember that they would have like cops, like they would scan your bags and stuff. So, and it was kind of harder to be like on military base, you know, doing shady shit. you know, so, and then I also have The Strangers for, you know, the same reason, not that other one that was terrible. Just the fact that they are getting killed because they're home.
Well, and also the suspense is so well done. Like you're saying, it's like, what if you're home and somebody else is in your home and they're toying with you and they come up behind, I mean, spoiler alert, but you know, the way people would, they were kind of standing behind them, just watching and then disappear and then writing things on the window. And oh my God, like I that was another one I thought, oh, you know, it can't have been that scary, but I rewatched it at home in the middle of the daytime with people in the house and I was still scared. That is scary.
I remember the scene in the movie where they're like kind of like in that closet. It's like Scott Speedman, Liv Tyler, he's got the gun ready. And I just remember just feeling so tense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm getting it now, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think also just the idea that here you are, you're in a house in the country. Like, I don't know, like my comfort zone is like the middle of New York City, personally. So, you know, like I'm not a country person. I'm not one of these people that want dreams about not being able to see your neighbors. Like I hate not being able to see your neighbors. So even, you know, like you're in this isolated country home, nobody can hear you scream. Nobody can easily come to your rescue. Maybe the police are far away. That is inherently a scary situation. You know?
Yeah. And then I think also like what's scary about that movie, when you think back to look like when you watch it again and you're like, oh my God, she was just asking if Tamara was home because she was just trying to get a count of who was in the house. She didn't care about who was, you know what I mean? Like, but they're like, why is she keep on asking for Tamara? But she's actually, okay, there's only two of them. Then at the end, when they're like, we'll be smarter next time, less sloppy. Like, oh God.
Yes. Yes. And also, you know, kind of like the cult, like the sociopathic drugged out girl. I mean, there's a little bit of so much in there. It was like a little bit of the Manson family. That movie actually completely sent me down the Ketty murders like rabbit hole. Like I am all the way down the Ketty murders rabbit hole. Because that kind of brought light onto that real life case. That also brought like there's the Ketty Resort Murders documentary that it kind of, so it's all kind of, it brought so many things, like the fear of sociopathic teenagers who don't care what they do to you being and in the country.
It's called Ketty Resort or?
The Ketty, K-E-D-D-Y Resort Murders.
Okay.
And there's a documentary on YouTube, which is, again, if you're into The Strangers, it's sort of a Stranger's Adjacent.
Good. I don't know, man, there's just something about like a teenagers killing who just don't care. It's just so freaky.
Well, then again, like it's the suburbs is this kind of this illusion of safety, you know, like anybody could, and I think that's what it really toys with, this idea that anybody can come force their way into your house and do whatever they want with you. That's, you know, I think we all kind of know theoretically that could happen, but you push it out of your mind most of the time, you know?
It's that false
good sense. Reasons.
False sense of security.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like getting tense now.
I know. I'm just thinking about it.
God, maybe this wasn't a good idea. Okay. What's your third one?
No, it's one that a lot of other people don't like. It's called The Fields. Have you ever seen that one?
I don't think so. Tell me about it.
So it's interesting. So it's about a kid who's growing up in the 70s and kind of gets dumped with his grandparents. And there's it's right around the time of like Helter Skelter or the Manson family trial. And then basically the local commune, the hippies start kind of going off the deep end.
Okay.
And they start kind of waging this campaign of terror. Somebody starts waging a campaign of terror against his grandparents' house.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it's sort of, it alludes to the Manson family. It's clearly not a remake of the Manson family, which I think makes it like more effective in a way. Mm-hmm. But again, it's this idea they're in the cornfield and it's like the cornfields start to shake, or the somebody comes and taps on the windows, like, you know, they can't see. It's sort of strangers adjacent. It's like mm-hmm. being isolated with your family and you can't see what's happening. You know, you're under siege and you don't know why, and you don't know by who.
Yeah. Oof. Okay. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Oh God. It's so good. Well, it's funny because, again, being old as dirt, that was the one thing like my grandmother would warn me about. She'd be like, whatever you do, don't let hippies put drugs in your drink. But we, it's like, I tell you, like, I'm still scared to pick up a drink that somebody else has touched.
Oh my God, I swear, the generational trauma is like so real.
No, but we had, at the time, I mean, it was kind of like, you know, maybe like mid 70s or whatever, but there were these kind of communes, and our parents were, and they wouldn't tell us specifically what to be afraid of, but it's like, you better be really, really afraid of those people. Like, do not go near them. Don't
yeah, their no, yeah.
You know, and we would like run into, you know, like there's one, they had like a rainbow painted barn and they had like these weird effigies in there. And so mm-hmm. It seemed very real to me. It's, you know, and especially when you're a kid, you just don't know what to make of this weird shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The 70s were wild, man. God.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what I loved about The Fields is that it captured kind of like, your parents are off doing whatever they want to be doing. Like, they're kind of given up on, you know, they're kind of bored with raising a kid. They're not going to let that hold them back. You know, all hell is breaking loose all around you in the world. You know, mm-hmm. people are doing crazy things. There's cults, there's, you know, crazy murders and things. And there's no one to really kind of explain it to, you know, so as a kid trying to make sense of that, I thought it just did such a good job of sort of capturing what it was like to be a kid at that time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm adding that to the list, and I'm going to ask my brother. I'm sure he's probably heard of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number four for you.
The Boy. Did okay. you see, that's the one with Brahms?
The boy.
So
with Lauren Cohan. Okay, yeah. Sometimes I stay away from those. Those aren't usually my style. Is it good? Is it more like a jump scare type of thing?
So surprisingly good. So yeah, so it's a nanny who is called to work for this English couple. Who are a little bit strange, and then she's put in charge of this like ventriloquist dummy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's considered mm-hmm. her charge. So there's that, and then there's kind of a surprise. There's a twist, surprise ending to it, and I liked it because it was so creative. It is not what you think it is. It's not just flat out crazy people. It's not a jump scare. It's not a monster movie. It's not like a haunted house movie. It's kind mm-hmm. of something different. That's what I liked about okay. it. I thought it was like really, really creative.
Cool. I think I stayed away from it because that was kind of around the Annabelle hype time.
I just
watched the whole like Annabelle what's that couple's name? Like that, their whole universe. Because I wanted to
the Conjuring universe.
Yeah, I wanted to watch the new Conjuring because it looked mm-hmm. good. And I was like, well, might as well just dip into all of it. And I watched it like all in order. Mm-hmm. Okay, The Boy. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a chance as well. All right, number five.
Number five is The Visit.
Okay.
And I'm actually not at all like an M. Night. How do you say his last name? Shyamalan? Is that
Shyamalan?
Yeah. I'm not usually for him. Everything has kind of been a little bit disappointing since his first one, but that is a really good movie. It is. I just thought, and it was one of those things because it seems quiet mm-hmm. and it seems, again, it's not what you're expecting, but I think he plays on how, well, again, if you step back, maybe not all parents are going to send their kids off on a train to parents that she hasn't talked to for 25 years. So maybe the premise is not entirely realistic.
Right.
But you could sort of see he made it seem reasonable that they got there. And it's just, it's such a slow creeper, so slow, steady suspense. But I think he got it emotionally right.
Like
the idea that you want your kids to have a relationship with their grandparents. Mm-hmm. You want, as kids who grew up not with a lot of family, you want that connection with your family. You want to, you know, you want to have grandparents. You want to have a good relationship with your family members, even if you've been estranged from them. And then how that can could just slowly haywire. I thought that was, it was pretty brilliant. And especially the end scare.
Yeah. Okay. So I never saw The Visit because I gave up on M. Night Shyamalan. You know, I watched The Sixth Sense. It was the thing my brother and I were talking about this last night. I was like, listen, people were talking about this is the scariest movie ever. I was like, first of all, it's PG-13. Losers.
Yeah.
I was like, you come talk to me when you've watched a movie with a girl who's actually a boy. Okay. And she's talking to you by the camp. Okay. Then we'll talk. And so my brother was talking about it, the guy at the time I was dating, and they were talking about the ending. I was like, what's the ending? Because I'm not someone that I don't care. You can spoil a movie and I'll still enjoy it. So I was like, okay, I'll Wikipedia it. And I read that ending and my heart dropped. I was like, holy crap, that's good.
Yeah, no, and I went in not knowing it was his movie. I had just heard from somebody I trusted, oh my God, that's so good. You really got to go see it. Mm-hmm. And so I went in just blind and, and that ending, like, oh, you really don't see it coming the first time that you see it. And again, it's another one of those I restock. Cause I'm like, ah, how good is it? You know, maybe I was just kind of surprised the first, it's really good. I thought it was really good because what it really taps into for me is, your family members getting older. Because it becomes so scary as you watch them age. It tapped into that kind of primal fear of my parents, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, whoever they are, you know, whatever, this relative that I love, that I know a certain way, when you start to see their faculties fail and you start to see them fall apart and you kind of don't know what you're going to find once you go visit them. Like, to me, that was the real fear that it tapped into. And that was part of what made it so successful.
I agree with that. That's the hell of an ending. But yeah, my brother, he told me about Old and I was I'm like Shyamalan, I know you're trying, but you gotta do something else, buddy.
Oh, I know. And Old was, don't get me started, Old, the latest, his latest Old, it was like, oh, come on. That's what we went with.
I know.
The scientists are evil. Come on. Now that's what you want to say to the world?
I know. Bless his heart. I don't know. Good luck. He's still rich as fuck. So.
Oh, I know.
And I remember. I never saw Signs. But then I remember when somebody told me about The Village and what the deal was. I was like, I just fast forwarded to the end because I was like, I'll be damned. If I'm going to waste 2 hours, first of all, like, that was such a reaching story. Like, you guys were grieving. We're rich as fuck. You want to buy some land and take it back to the 1800s? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. But actually, the version of that was awesome was Antebellum. Did you see Antebellum?
I heard about that. I didn't want to see it just because it was... I think when it came out, it was just too, like, with the whole race thing and stuff, and sometimes it's the slavery, and that was just, but I know what the premise of that one is as well, and that's pretty good. And when I read it, I was like, I don't think I need to see this, because sometimes, as much as I love horror movies, when they are a little too, like, psychological, I feel it too much. And I think that's why I like just, like, a cheesy horror movie. So I struggle with it. And from what I read about it, it just seems rough.
No, because I have to say, because it had terrible, terrible reviews. But when after I saw it, I'm like, how can this have bad reviews? It tapped into, like, an emotional truth. in a way that, like, since Get Out, you know, a lot of movies can't, don't kind of reach that deep. And I thought, like you're saying, and maybe that is sort of, it was too much for some people, but it that emotional truth, and sort of speaking to, you know, kind of this horrible, you know, this horrible time in our history, these horrible things that were done. But to see it in the, you know, see it on film, and to see, you know, the actual effects, how it would affect somebody even today.
Yeah.
It was very powerful, emotionally very powerful, I thought. Yeah. Very emotionally truthful.
Yeah. I just remembered what had happened. You know, when movies, the announcer's like, and don't ruin the twisting ending for anybody. I'm like, you know what? I'll ruin it myself. Let me swipe up on this phone and Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
Right.
I don't care. Like I said, I'll ruin a movie and I'll still enjoy it. I don't know. That's just me though.
Well, exactly. Right. Yeah.
And then I put, I said, of course, Halloween, The Strangers. So one movie that I loved growing up was Sleepaway Camp 2.
Okay.
And I think it's just because it came out later in the 80s. So I'm pretty sure like my brother rented it from like a video place, have the Chopette on the military base, and you could rent movies there for a day.
Right.
We were in awe when we saw a Blockbuster first time. I mean, it was heaven. Anyways, we watched it. So that's just the one I was like more familiar with. And then I guess it was just cool, you know, campy camp kids and the way she was killing them. The one that always gets to me is when she kills the two twin sisters and she like sets them on fire. And I was like, oh my God, that's rough. Like, I don't know, being buried alive, burn alive, drowning, that all freaks me out. Like for the longest, I wouldn't even like say those fears out loud. You saw how I looked over my shoulder as somebody was like, snatch me up. Like I remember when Ryan Reynolds did that movie when he's in the coffin. I couldn't even watch the previews for it. I had my brother, I was like, you better tell me the freaking ending. And I was like, you better tell me the ending, because he went and saw it.
Right. But Sleepaway Camp, and fun fact, we actually, when I was in high school, we actually had like our, you know, class retreat at the same camp where they filmed Friday the 13th. So like, we need to say we did not sleep a wink, you know, we like snuck out to the lake to see if like hands were going to come up.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Did not sleep a wink. but this whole idea of Sleepaway Camp, but I think there is something to it. It's like you just hand off your kids to these strangers for them to go live in the woods for 3 weeks. Like,
and I mean, I did it with my son this past summer, and you know, even now it's like no phones, no this, no that. And it's just like, okay. Okay, well, you know, maybe he won't get murdered. See you in a week, kid.
Yeah, well, and then we've normalized it so much, but I think that's what a lot of those movies are about. It's like, yeah, like a bunch of, leave your kids with a bunch of other kids in the woods.
Yeah. Wow, man. Life is wild. Okay, so the other one, and it's like the more modern one, just the Scream series, because like that's just the first series that came out that was like I was age appropriate, so it just has a special place in my heart for that. And I think it was one of the series that did like comedy and horror correctly. It was like very meta, you know, like
scary.
And it was scary, and you know, I just, of course, you know, Neve Campbell, Party of Five, all these teens, you just think they're the coolest thing ever. You know, I don't know, I guess. And when I remember when it came out, but back then I didn't realize that was Drew Barrymore, because I think she wasn't like, that wasn't like her quote unquote like famous popular time. I think that helped her like come back.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really saw a ton of Drew Barrymore movies. But at that time, you know, that's when she was like flashing Dave Letterman and being crazy.
Right, right.
I think just the way it started, like, you're not safe. You're going to die within the first 10 minutes of the movie. We're going to kill a big name. You know, here we go. Mm-hmm. the boyfriend. I don't know why I keep on thinking someone's over there. I'm in my room. Like, the boyfriend, you know, we're cutting his guts open. And I remember like when they were doing the trivia and, you know, I was like, what, 13, 12, 13 at that time. And I can't recall if I had saw the first Friday the 13th at that moment. I hadn't, maybe not. So when they're like, who's the killer Friday the 13th? I screamed along with her. I'm like, it's Jason. I got it right. They're like, wrong. And I remember I was watching with my brother and he goes, wrong. And basically says the same thing that the killer said, not knowing that's what he's going to say. He was like, wrong. It's the mother. And that's what the killer said. And I was like, oh, I'd be dead. You know, right. So that was like terrifying too. Like, wait, no, we know it's Jason. Come on. And then it's the boyfriend who did it. Well, maybe it's not the boyfriend. Okay. Maybe it's his boyfriend. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was the boyfriend the whole time, you know, kind of thing. So I just like the whole series in general. And like I said, I think it's just kind of like where I was in life. I remember Scream 2 when that came out, that was a big deal. You know, there was like cops at the theater, like you couldn't wear a mask, like they were on it. They were like checking your ID. Of course, I was like my sister and whatnot. You know, they were checking your ticket to make sure people weren't sneaking in. So I think what I just appreciate about it was like the experience it brought. I didn't get that with any other movies. I don't think I saw any of the other horror movies that I loved in the theater up until that time.
But it was also kind of like, it made its own, it was so creative. It made its own genre where it's like, yeah, we can take this and we can make it funny and we can make it cool and we can make it stylish. Mm-hmm. You know, you can add, because it kind of added in, you know, like there was a fashion element. There was a scary, it was truly scary and it was funny. And it was derivative. So it worked on so many levels. It's a good series, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a fifth one. So did you ever see the Creepshow movies?
Yes.
Okay. For the longest freaking time, and actually still to this day, I still have to fast forward certain parts because it scares me. And Creepshow 2... the hitchhiker, the guy who keeps on saying, thanks for the ride, lady. Thanks for the ride. I remember being like 8 years old. I'm like, why is he thanking her for what ride? What ride? My brother's like, the ride to death. And then like, he just keeps coming after her and coming after her. And then he's like, jumps out at the end. And the part that always freaks me is like when she's like waiting at the stoplight and she just sees him like waving her down. And she's like, no, what? And he just jumps up and he's by the car. I don't know. That just, I'm getting goosebumps right now. But that, again, maybe because you're just being way too young. That just freaked me out. He was relentless. And then the sign saying, you killed me. And she think it's all a dream. And that just messed with me. I enjoyed like, and I think that actually that whole series was pretty good. I liked the second one with old Chief Woodenhead, I think his name was. That was good. Yeah. The raft one was good too, because I was just like, you idiot, why did you look back and say I beat you? You should have kept on swimming and running. And then always what got me was on the raft was when that guy got pulled through and his leg breaks and it goes up. I cannot deal well with like broken bones. And then like how he's like kissing on the girl and she's like getting sucked in. I'm like, I don't know why you thought this was a good time for sex when I think trying to kill you, whatever. That one, it just freaked me out because I never understood like a ride for what. I was like, she didn't give him a ride, she killed him. My brother's like, he means it, you know. Things that are going over my head, I'm just freaking out as an 8 year old. And I mean, I would have nightmares about him. I would call him the thanks for the ride lady man. Freaked me out. All right. Solid list.
Did you ever see the original When a Stranger Calls? Not the one that was made in the 90s. There was one, it was made in like 1979, 1980.
Ooh, I don't think so.
I believe, although I may be wrong, I believe that started the babysitter horror genre.
Okay.
And I recently rewatched it with a friend, and it's just, again, it was one of those where I was like, way too young, seeing this in movie theater somehow. Somebody thought it was a good idea to let me see it. And it was just terrifying. But it's still scary. It is a solid, scary movie.
So. Oh, okay. I'll have to like look that up. I went through a phase when I was just trying to watch as many like 70s and 80s horror movies. Mm-hmm. I remember like reading, watching Happy Birthday to Me. Like we were like driving around video stores trying to find like the old movies. And, you know, that's how I saw like the first Sleepaway Camp before my brother bought me like a special edition set. And I was just like, you know what? I'd kill too. Like they did her wrong, making her a girl with a crazy aunt. It's like I'd kill people too.
No, so Tubi is a treasure trove of those.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Tubi is a treasure trove of those movies. So my dad was actually he was a huge fan of kind of like 70s horror. He always had it playing like on. He was one of those TV watchers. So again, there's a lot of stuff I probably had no business being exposed to, but Tubi has a lot of it, like a lot of the good old classic 70s, 60s, 80s, early 80s horror movie. And it's all free. It's awesome.
Awesome. Cool. Cool. I remember, I like the anthology style movies. And I remember there was like an older one called The Vault. That's pretty good. It's like people, they're basically like in like this little place and there's a vault and they're like telling stories about their life, and then at the end like it's about the people and like the terrible shit they've done, so they're all like, well, we'll just go into the vault, which is like the vault to hell, you know, like they're like, okay, we're bad people, we get it, let's go in this vault and die. You know, that was pretty good. And I remember seeing like the original Tales from the Crypt movie that came out, like, and that one's pretty good. And it was so cool. They actually remade some of those stories on the TV show. Cause I remember there was like the guy who had to like go through the hall with like razors and stuff. That was kind of, that one freaked me out.
Did you ever see the original, the Creep, it's like Creep 2. I don't know if they have a Creep 3, not Creep Show, but Creep.
No, I don't think so. Oh my gosh. Googling and like pinning all of these movies I need to watch.
Or maybe no, that's actually also kind of a story of its time. It's about people who answer Craigslist ad and then kind of like go, you know, to this isolated town and go work for a serial killer.
Okay.
And the second one's totally not what you're expecting. And it's about like, what if, you know, you bring somebody up to scare them and they're not scareable. It is really interesting.
Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting. Huh. Wow. Okay. Like, yeah, I don't know how I missed that. Okay, cool. Okay, so trends. So we are going to talk about zombie trends. And, you know, they've just taken it so many different ways from, you know, Night of the Living Dead up to Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead or whatever bullshit he came up with. Did you watch it? Did you see it?
I did not see that one, no.
Okay. I just have a problem with him in general. I think all of his movies can be a skosh shorter.
Yep. Like, Oh, yeah.
So I just think he drags things out. I remember seeing Night of the Living Dead in the movies. Well, the 90s version that came out. Because it was, you know, a remake from the other one. And I just actually saw the first one. When did that come out? The '50s, the black and white one. When did that one come out?
60s? Oh, that was in the '60s. Yeah.
Yeah. I finally saw that one. That one was pretty good. But again, like the zombies, even in the '90s version, like they were so slow. You could walk right through them. Past them, they weren't like the smartest things ever, you know. And then you get something like Dawn of the Dead. It's just like insane. And then you have like the Return of the Living Dead, you know, where it's like brains, and then like you know, they're like, they were pretty fast in that one. And then the other ones, they got a little bit more comedic, and mm-hmm. like the zombies are talking. They're like, I need the brains to feed the pain. And, you know, all mm-hmm. of that. So like, what do you like about the zombie genre?
Well, what it was interesting, because I was never totally on board with zombies. I have a good friend who just loves, like, there's never been a zombie movie she hasn't loved. And okay. I was like, you know, I'll go with you. But when it really hit me, it's like, okay, so this is actually a warning. This is a story of our time.
Seriously.
This is just predicting the time that we live in now.
Yeah. Well, isn't that like George Romero? Didn't he have like underlining like tones of like what was happening in the mm-hmm. world or so?
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't in today's world like had that, like you think you're talking to someone and you think you're maybe not totally on the same page, maybe kind of on the same page. And then, you know, especially with like QAnon stuff now, it's like, you know, then you realize like, oh, you're not one of me, you're one of them.
Oh my god. Yeah, you know, listen, I live in South Carolina, okay? That's all I'm gonna say about that. Yeah. I think what scares me about the zombie movies is that they are realistic, because they're always like some type of experiment happening, and it's always the damn military. Yeah. You know, trying yes. to bring back to life to use them in warfare. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's one of the things that's a little bit more realistic to happen.
Yeah. Well, and especially now with the pandemic, again, like top story of our time, where, you know, you don't know who's infected, you don't know who's going to turn into something. I mean, that is, I mean, looking at what's going on with the pandemic, oh my god, that's exactly the time that we live in right now. Yeah. Like, you seem fine, maybe you're not, maybe in a week you'll be in a hospital, maybe in a week I'll be in a hospital.
Oh, who man knows? Yeah,
you know,
I think also another thing that always freaked me out about zombies is that they're relentless. Like, they just find a target and they go for it. My sister to this day, like when she was looking for houses, she would not get a house that had a lot of windows on the bottom floor because of at Night of the Living Dead, when they had to board up the windows. she's like, I will never do a house with a lot of windows for that exact reason. I tell you, horror movies get you prepared for real life, okay?
yes, exactly. I'd be interested to know the link between preppers and horror movie fans.
Yeah, seriously. So I remember like seeing that, you know, Night of the Living Dead. So do you know the story with George Romero and the other guy, that they were doing movies together and then they didn't get along and one of them got Living Dead and the other one just got Dead?
Oh, really? I did not hear that.
Yeah. They're like, well, I'll take Dead and I'll take Living Dead. And we'll go on our merry way. Night of the Living Dead, I think the scary factor, what we kind of talked about, is like they were on a farm. You know, like, who's going to come help them out? And it's going to be help the next day. It's too late. There's so many casualties. What was scary about, well, like, I remember like the remake of Dawn of the Dead. You're literally laying in your bed and here comes this little girl. Your first thing is, let me help, I'm the doctor. Right. And she attacks you. And then you're driving away. And then he just goes and attacks the neighbor who's watering her. And you know, again, like the zombies, they're relentless, they're fast, you know, they're climbing, they're, you know, getting smarter. I think the part two one, that's when they got even like smarter and they started to like communicate and use the guns, and you know, that was a crazy one because they had everybody, did you see that one, they had everyone kind of like living in a tower?
Yes,
like life is good. And then like there were the poor people outside and the zombies were spreading around. And that's another scary aspect, is like people get that false sense of safety that let me just go on with life, even though there's like flesh eaters out there. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. In the isolation of like, I know I can trust me. I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can trust them. Mm-hmm. You know, they seem okay, but who knows?
Exactly. And yeah, that kind of what I would tell people about The Walking Dead when it was good. I'm like, sometimes the zombies are secondary. It's about the people and how you change and react in, you know, the situation that is right in front of you. I'm trying to see, I took notes. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. I was just talking about like the zombie trends. Like I said, some are fast, slow, some talk, don't talk.
Well, I thought Stephen King's sort of take on it, where he kind of took it back to the origins, and the whole origin of the zombie is I think it came from Haitian legend,
mm-hmm,
of people who either dying and kind of put into this trance state, or people, mm-hmm, who were previously dead who were then sort of awoken through black magic. And then Stephen, mm-hmm, King, I thought, touched on that sort of aspect of it in Pet Sematary, where this idea that, you know, I think seeing someone die, of course, is terrifying. The grief, mm-hmm, that you feel is terrifying. And yet, if they came back, wouldn't that be actually scarier?
Right.
No.
And they're not coming back the same, but you still, yeah, want that old version that you remember.
It's almost like a grief coping mechanism. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe it's better if you're dead, you know, like, because the alternative is not good.
No, not at all. Oh, Pet Sematary, that was another one that was hard. I was like, I don't want your little boy die.
Oh, I know. Well, the book is devastating too, because it's really tugs at your emotions, you know.
Mm-hmm. What would you say your favorite zombie movie is?
Grief that we've had. See, I really did like I do like the old school original Day of the Living Dead. I have to say that's probably, if I had to pick one, that's one I would pick, the original Night of the Living Dead.
I could not stand Barbara in that one. She just screamed the whole time. It was just like, good for nothing. Evan, I think he froze on me.
Oh, I know. I even feel bad when she...
Okay, yeah, you're back. Yeah,
and the shocking of it is to see somebody get slapped. You do kind of go, all right, maybe she's a little annoying.
The brother just comes in at the end and like literally just like bear hugs her and carries her.
That's a whole thing in itself. It's like, how nice is it that we've actually evolved with our heroines? Like, you know, women go from being...
Well, even like in the one that came out the early 90s, they made her a little bit more badass. And it was so funny because, you know, they kind of switched it up, because I can't remember the actor's name, but the black guy who played Ben in the original, mm-hmm, one, what the director liked about him is just like his calm manner. And that's like a really crappy one, because at the end of the movie, he gets shot accidentally just because they think he's a zombie. She's like the hysterical one. And then in the 90s movie, he's a little bit more hothead, you know, just like, we gotta, you know, look for ourselves, do this, do that. And so, mm-hmm, but he gets bit in that one and, you know, turns into a zombie or whatever. And she's a little bit more even keel.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because the 90s one didn't do as well, but I liked it. And, you know, they gather up all these zombies, and what are they doing? They're beating them around. They're having fun with them. Like, mm-hmm, it's still not taken seriously. And it's And then she says, you know, the thing about like, you know, like now we're becoming like them, you know, like we're no better.
Yeah. So, right. Oh, and actually, I have to say, did you see there was a Korean movie about zombies on a train?
Yes.
Now that, I have to say, that probably is one of my favorites as well. That is a great movie. And again, like you're saying, it's really kind of about, you know, if we work 6 days a week and we're exhausted and we're still poor and there's nothing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Is it better to be a zombie? I don't know.
I always say, if I was on The Walking Dead, I would be like, introduce that episode and kill that episode. Like, I have no fight in me. Just take me. I don't care. all go. I would say of like newer zombie movies, I would say I like the Dawn of the Dead. I did not like the Army of the Dead, what Zack Snyder did. It just wasn't for me. I do like Dawn of the Dead. It was just interesting, just again, to see how people were, you know. Mekhi Phifer was in it, his wife was pregnant, and like that was rough with the baby zombie. And I was like, oh, good. And then, you know, just how people were changing, and you know, there's like, let's stick together, but pretty soon they're separating, and everyone has like their own little store that they're staying in and whatnot. And then, you know, you get to know the guy that's across the street, across the building, Andy, and then he finally gets stuck to him, and then he gets bit, and it's like, damn, you know, like this whole time you were like rooting for him. My brother says that actually, I think on the DVD, there's like some behind the scenes, and it kind of shows like what Andy's like doing, like in his little shelter area. Mm-hmm. And then again, like with that one, you know, you think they get away, and then you don't get away because here they come on the dock, like, ready to kill, and just like you're not safe. Like, where do you go? Do you go to the waters? Like, you know, it's like, what do you do?
What I think is, I mean, because I think a lot of these kind of latter day zombie shows have kind of turned into almost like injury porn. You know, or violence porn, where it's just like heads being blown off and arms falling off, and like I can only take so much of that. Like, I, you know, give me something I can hold. Now I'll watch some garbage. I will really watch some garbage. You know, I don't want my standards aren't terribly high, but give me something I can think about. Give me something to hold on to in that movie. You know, like give me an idea. Give me an emotional truth. Give me you know, something.
I agree. I think another terrifying thing about zombies is, unlike vampires, like vampires only get the nighttime. Zombies will attack you whenever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like bringing the fear into the daylight.
Yeah.
So, and I think like that's another false sense of security we have. And that's another thing that Michael kind of takes away, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's just like another good scary aspect to it.
Well, I think also sort of not knowing who you're really talking to, and there's a whole kind of subgenre of, you know, like, how well do we know the people that we love? How well do we know the people that we know? You know, but this whole idea that it looks like a person, it's kind of acting like a person, maybe I'll be safe, and then you're not safe at all. I mean, that really does kind of speak to like the human experience pretty well.
Well, that's what kind of happened in The Night of the Living Dead, when the daughter changes eventually. They're like, no, not my daughter. You know, you're still thinking they're going to recognize you, but you're like, she's dead. And she's about to kill you.
Like, well, that's like, and actually another honorable mention, The Ring, which this idea of how well do we know our children? Oh, you know, like you have a child, you bring a child into this world, like, what if things aren't right with your child? What if your child's not who you thought your child was?
Yeah.
You know,
I just watched that again recently. I saw The Ring again recently, and I was like, oh God, that's rough. Like, she just got this, I'm recording a videotape to send out to somebody else to watch.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I don't know. That was pretty good. It was like a slow burn. I think when I first saw it, I was like, oh God, come on, just hurry up. Let's just kill some people. And then I watched it again. And now maybe that I'm a mom, I'm like, oh my God, kids, don't watch anything you're not supposed to watch.
I know. Well, there's definitely that aspect of it. And, but you're right. It is kind of, if you think about it, like, all right, well here, we're going to make a tape and we're going to keep you safe. But by doing so, we're going to kill a bunch of other people.
That's
pretty dark.
I know, that is dark. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay. All right. I still told you I wouldn't keep you long. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up, talk about?
Well, let's see. Oh, well, it's not quite zombie related, but the original, I'm not thinking pod people. What is it? The
Invasions of the Body Snatchers.
Yes.
That's the original. The end. When she thinks that they made it, he's like,
exactly. Exactly. And again, so that's kind of, yeah, but that's actually in a way that you could almost see that happening more easily than you can see people turning into zombies. Because it's like, what if something does fall from space? What if you do get sick? What if there is this thing that grows inside of people that changes them forever? Again, it's like, it's sort of starting to feel like a story of our time.
Well, you know, I've seen the original and then the remake that again didn't do well. I remember in the remake when the friend, like the blonde girl, you know, she's like talking and the guy's like, don't show any emotion. And she's like, I know where your brother is. And she turns around, she's like, where? And I remember we were watching it. You're like, you idiot!
Don't fall for it!
And then, you know, of course, the little brother, he got like turned and that was rough.
And
she threw him out like the helicopter. I'm trying to think of any other like style movie like that. Like there were people just kind of get like taken over.
We saw one recently. It's called like Spike, the Spike or something like that. But it's about basically this weird life form that, again, it's more like an epidemic movie, which is again, it's a whole thing in itself. The epidemic movie, it's called The Spike or something, but it was kind of, I don't know if it was a straight to video, but it was, you know, it's fairly recent, but it's actually, it's pretty effective. And it's a kind of a cross between epidemic movie and a zombie movie because it changes things. It changes the people it infects.
Talking about that, 28 Days Later, that was intense.
Yeah.
So intense. And I mean, I guess it's kind of like zombie, even though it's like based off a game. I remember Resident Evil, like that one, just like how that started to, and then like how it, you know, changes and stuff. That was insane. It's always like science. It's always military. They're always trying to experiment. I remember I used to love watching like Return of the Living Dead 3 with Melinda Clark. Again, I think it was just because it was like on TV a lot. I would watch it. And the scene when she hits her neck against the pole would always just like, ugh. The bone breaking. And then the son gets bit. So then he kills himself. And that was good. That was part three. Because like I said, I think it was the second one where they kind of went like a little comedic. It was Night of the Living Dead and then the Return of the Living Dead. Return of the Living Dead is where they went a little bit more comedic with those later on.
Campy, I know
it's that was like another thing that happened too. Like movies got campy in the 80s, late 80s.
Oh yeah. 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 And it started with some good solid stuff. Well, did you ever watch any Giallo?
I don't think so.
So Giallo is a whole it's a whole genre of Italian movies. And so we kind of think of slashers as starting sort of in America in the 80s, you know, like Halloween and Jason and Freddy and all that. But back in like in the 60s and the 70s, there was this whole Italian industry and it's G-I-A-L-L-O, Giallo. But it's was this whole genre of movies. And they would just like they'd make a movie like with all these different actors who spoke these different languages, and then they just dub it over in like 10 different languages so everybody could watch it.
But that's cool.
It was a scary movie genre, except it's usually not supernatural. It's usually like killer with black gloves and a knife. And it's known for, they're visually incredible because the Italian directors were just so chic. So there's like this incredible clothing and kind of makeup and art direction. They got this super campy, but very cool music. And then they've got, you know, twists and turns and kind of and a scare element to the plot where somebody's being hunted or there's a killer at large or and there's a whole genre of those movies, which is worth watching. Any horror movie person should definitely check them out. There's a bunch on Tubi. There's a bunch on Amazon Prime.
That reminds me of, I think it was Audrey Hepburn. Yeah. maybe. No, one, I think she was like in a horror movie. She was blind or something. Yeah, Wait Until Dark. Audrey Hepburn stars as a young blind woman. Mm-hmm. And like, she's like being stalked or something. Because I had just seen something about like the scariest movies. And they were like, when you were in a theater, like as a light broke in the movie, a light would shut off like in the theater or something, making it dark. Kind of giving me like what her perception was. And then I remember watching it at home, and like the killer like jumps out and I like jumped in. But that kind of reminded me of it, like, you know, like a sleek, sexy, you know, movie instead of just like the trash that we love in America.
yeah and that's what's cool about the giallo movies, is there's often like this kind of gratuitous sexiness, and like everybody's like, you know, here are these like civil servants are like in these hand-tailored suits, like they look very chic, like they're all very cool, you know, they got these great shades, like it's pure entertainment, you know, by today's standards it's maybe not even that scary, but it's cool. If you like old school movies, you will like the giallo movies.
It's like, you're fashionable, you can't be evil.
Exactly.
You're too cute to kill. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. This was so much fun. Yes. And I'm hoping to like do this again, pop in, just talk horror movies. Cause you know,
my friend is not
here for it. Is there anything that you would like to promote? Like to say, this is your time. No pressure.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. And it was just wonderful to talk to you, and thank you for having me on your show. Follow me on Instagram. I am Grace, GRACESESS.
Okay, cool. Text me that, or you're like, you're share your handle, and I'll make sure I put it in the show notes for people to follow. So
fantastic. Well, it was such a pleasure.
Absolutely. Awesome. And I will see you in the Skirlines Facebook group.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Please remember to rate, subscribe, review, share with your friends. Check us out at selfcreatedpodcast.com. Email us selfcreatedpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can listen to Self-Created Podcasts on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen.